Well, I expect you are pushing ahead at the moment with your preparations for Christmas. The Tooby household certainly is. Yes, the fun has already started. We, like everybody, though, have traditions, so some of our preparations are fairly easy because we do the same thing every year. However, this year it's going to be slightly different, which is creating a bit of a dilemma for me. Every third year, it's our turn to have my mum for Christmas. We started the negotiations early on how long she's going to stay. I started off with, I expect to see you on Christmas Day, mum. And she said, well, I was thinking I might stay for a week. Negotiations are still ongoing. But certainly she will be with us on Christmas Day. The second change is Lewis and Harriet normally come and stop with us on Christmas Eve, and then after the service on Christmas Day, they go to Harriet's. However, I've been advised that this year they're staying Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and maybe Boxing Day. And then the third change is that Josh is now living back at home with us, having got a job in Coventry. When he returned, I explained to him that he would need to pay some rent now he's coming back. And I'll be honest, it's a word I wish I'd never used. Because here's my problem, and here's my dilemma. We have more people staying this year than we have beds. Now, it's not the first time this has happened. It tends to happen every 3 years when my mum stays with us. But this is normally resolved by the youngest of the family, Josh, being relegated to the floor. I always think it's a bit of a rite of passage for youngsters. You know, at the end of the day, you're the youngest, you can sleep on the floor. However, last week, while we were eating our tea, Josh announced, as I'm now paying rent, I have rights. And therefore, I'm not sleeping on the floor this Christmas. So having nearly choked on my sausage, I said, sorry? He says, I'm not sleeping on the floor this year. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll tell Grandma she is. No, he says, Grandma is sleeping in my old room, because he's now taken a different room. I'm sleeping in my bed, in my room, and Lewis and Harriet, who he likes to call the prince and princess, can sleep on the floor. I said, okay, let me just get this right. You're going to let Lewis and Harriet sleep on the floor in the same room as you'll be sleeping in your big double bed. Yep, that's right. Okay, I said, I'll leave you to communicate that message to Lewis and Harriet. Good luck with that. To which he responded, no, you're the landlord, that's your job. It's your job to pass the message on to them. So this is my dilemma. How do I explain to Lewis and Harriet that this year they're sleeping on the floor while Josh chills out in his big double bed? Now you might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with the reading for today? Well, we always say, don't we, that the Bible guides us in our lives. So when I was looking at the reading for this week and preparing my talk, this dilemma was at the forefront of my mind. And it meant I actually looked at the reading in a slightly different way. Our gospel reading for this week is the story of John the Baptist, the messenger, the person who delivers the message and prepares the way for the coming of the Lord. So what could I learn from Matthew's account and John the Baptist to help me deliver my, I appreciate, slightly less important message, but equally tricky message to Lewis and Harriet? Well, the approach taken in communicating the message by John the Baptist, I believe, falls into three parts. The first is the need to look back and to consider the traditions. Initially, Matthew explains the background to who John the Baptist is. So what is the tradition that makes this person important? Well, we see that in verse 3, Matthew explains that this is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. This would provide credibility in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah 40. And it's something that the crowds would have recognised and understood and would have been waiting for many years. John comes as the one who was promised to prepare the way for the Lord. Again, in our first reading, we heard these words from verse 4 of Romans. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So it's an important part of any message that people are clear what it's based on and can relate to it. Something, dare I say, our politicians could have remembered over the past few weeks. So the first approach I've learnt is to make my message to Lewis and Harriet reflect what has happened in the past. Our traditions around Christmas and our sleeping arrangements. Secondly, just talking about the past, though, is not enough. You have to relate the message to the here and now. In Matthew's account, we see John the Baptist confronting people with the truth at that time, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who certainly he didn't save any of the niceties for. But also, he gave a very broad message to everyone of the need to repent. But why was there the need to repent? Because the message for the here and now was for people of the time to prepare for the anticipated and excited future when Jesus arrived. So my message to Lewis and Harriet will have to reflect what is happening now, but encompass and prepare them for the excitement of the Christmas we're going to have as a family. Finally, the message had to reach everyone and be inclusive enough. We hear in the Gospel that people from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan attended. A large group of different people with different situations. Some would have come wanting to hear more, but already expectant. Some would have attended out of curiosity. Others would have arrived and been very cynical, like the Pharisees and Sadducees. So my message again to Lewis and Harriet must be inclusive. It must recognise their circumstances and disappointments, but also reflect other people's needs. So I've learnt a lot from today's reading of Matthew, from Matthew about John the Baptist and his approach to communicating a message. And I do intend to use all three stages when talking to Lewis and Harriet. But it is also relevant to us as a church and individually today, as we prepare to take on that role of the messenger about the birth of Jesus. We need to ensure that we reflect back on the tradition, the facts, and build our service around what has been recorded in the Bible as our point of reference. We need to ensure that it's relevant to the here and now, and inclusive so that people engage with the gospel. Which is why we will have a variety of services and events this year, from the Nativity to the crib services, where we'll use current characters that the youngsters will recognise to tell the Christmas story, through to the more traditional carol service, midnight communion and Christmas Day service. We will reach out through social media to encourage people to make a connection with the Christmas story this year. However, we also individually have a role to play as we prepare for our own Christmas. To consider how we will ensure that we become the messenger and make sure Christ is in the centre of our family celebrations, and that we bring everyone together to make this Christmas a truly Christ-like one. And so I'd encourage you now to build into your preparations how you will make your personal Christmas a Christ-like one. We continue the work of John the Baptist in making ready the path and proclaiming the life and the gospel of Christ. And we pray that this year, as we share that gospel, it will reach the hearts and minds of those who hear it, so that fruits of our words and our activities this Christmas will produce good fruit and bring people to know God. Finally, with regards to my dilemma, keep a close eye on the Tooby family as they enter church on Christmas Day. The ones yawning and holding their backs will be the ones who received the message. And they were the ones that were relegated to the floor. Amen.